Hello and welcome to the Wild Minds podcast with me, your host, Joe Farrell. In this podcast, we'll be covering people's mentality, how we can help the environment, and people's mental health. We'll understand how people coped in difficult situations and how people managed to overcome the challenges they were faced with in life. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, follow us on Instagram at wildminds.uk and on Facebook at wildminds.uk. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Right, here we are, Wild Minds, episode 5. And we've got my friend all the way from Australia, Corey Makelam. How are you doing today, Cozza?
Yeah, good, Baz. Good.
How's life back over there now?
Baz, the best. 45 degrees today, going to the beach, you know. Can't get any better.
9 a.m., 45 degrees. Whereabouts are you?
Yeah. Just in Liverpool. So it's a little, it's in Sydney.
Ah, right.
Area within Sydney, yeah.
Right, let's get into growing up over there, really. You're from the indigenous community and that. What's it like growing up around there? Is there lots of you, and how'd you all fit in and stuff? Because it's alien to me. I'm real interested in it, but I don't know about it.
Yeah, so growing up, it was just like we were just there, like everyday kids, you know, like just going playing on bikes and that. But, you know, you got your sort of casual racism every time you go to the shops and, you know, like, calling us boongs or abos and stuff like that. So, like, you know, there's stuff that you had to deal with, but it wasn't too bad, man. Like, you know, and, like, I'm not sort of your typical, like, dark-skinned Aboriginal. So, for me, I could fit in both worlds, you know. Like, I could play with the white kids and not get harassed too much. But I knew I was sort of on the outside. But then when I'd go play with, like, all the dark Aboriginal kids, like, you know, I'd get it from that side. Oh, I'll go play with the whiteies, you know, you're fair-skinned.
Yeah, stuff like that.
But in the wider community, man, back in the day, like, there was a lot of racism, sort of before I was growing up. But it still happens today, you know what it's like. But, yeah, it was normal growing up as a kid.
Yeah, I think when you say people saying, oh, go play with the white kids, and when you're with the dark kids and say, go play with that, I think it's the same. I've gone through some of that. Like, people call me the whitest black person they know, and I don't understand how it works. I'm real. It's the mud. It's a mud thing to say.
Yeah, it's freaky, bro, because, you know, like, I got cousins that are real dark skin and stuff like that. They'd never ever say that to me. But then there was other kids that are just like, you know.
Because I like
doing everything, you know, like when growing up, like going riding bikes, like jumping in the river, you know. So I was too sort of black for the white kids, but then, you know, not black enough for the black kids.
It's mad, isn't it? It's mad how it all comes across. It's mad how you're supposed to act a certain way because of the colour of you.
Yeah, that's right.
A mad one. I've been looking into some of this indigenous stuff, looking through it all, and through all the documentaries and stuff I've seen, I think it's mad how, like, the tie to, like, the land for indigenous people is so strong even to today. It seems to me like they don't want nothing else. They don't want the western side of how they live. They just want their land, and they want to live how they've lived for thousands of years on their land.
Yeah, that's right. And like, we have a massive connection with, like, land, because in Nyampa language is, like, what sort of stuff we've gone through. It's called the Nyurumpa, and that's, like, the dream time, they used to say. Like, didn't people refer to the dream time?
Yeah, yeah.
They sort of refer to that. That's and what it is we were connected to everything. We had a relationship with everything. And we thought, you know, like, our land, we knew our country better than anyone else. So we knew where everything was. You know, we didn't need to travel miles to go get food. You know, we knew where it was. We knew where water was. You know, they say that Aboriginal people are the dumbest people in the world, but we knew where everything was. How could that be dumb? You know, they say, oh, you didn't have wheels. Well, we didn't need to travel miles to conquer places. We were happy where we lived, you know?
Yeah.
That was our... And plus, they say we're lazy, but we used to walk for days, weeks to go to other places, you know, link up for ceremony and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think it's mad. I was looking at some documents, all the artwork in the caves and stuff like that, where the people used to live. And they said it goes back to, like, the first people ever to leave Africa and stuff like that. And it shows that they're a lot smarter than what you think they are, because even back then, because of how they managed to make this artwork and stuff, and the minerals they use to make the artwork with is from so far away, and they have to know how to mix it in a certain way to get the artwork on the walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it just goes to show, like, that, you know, it's been there for years, you know. How could we not be here? How could they say that it was Terra Nullius when James Cook come here and said, oh, no one was here? Yeah. Then in his diaries and that, he wrote, oh, there was fires all along the coastline. So, you know, even before that, we were doing trade with the Dutch, the Chinese, Indonesians, everything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Australia was called New Holland before it was called Australia.
Yeah.
So the Dutch were here. So, yeah.
See, I think I've seen on a documentary before saying there was like writings about the Dalai Lama coming to Uluru Rock.
Yep.
And stuff like that. So I'm thinking, yeah, these people, they must know something. They must know what they're doing if they're getting all these people coming into Australia and showing them all this place and stuff.
Yeah, well, I've never seen anything like that. But, like, you know, Uluru is a very sacred place for all Aboriginal people. You know, there's writings of, like, people travelling from here, like Sydney, all the way to Uluru to link up for ceremony. Yeah, and stuff like that. And that's documented. So that, like, you think about that, that's like 2 or 3 months of walking.
Yeah. Because Australia is a big place.
Yeah. So like, they call our songlines. So a lot of our highways that are built today are built off Aboriginal people's songlines. And what the songlines were is that they used to sing the country and that'd take them to ceremony. So they knew the way.
Yeah.
So, like, when they say, Australia's got, like, beautiful highways and that, it was all built back in the day off our song lines because people used to walk it all the time, our trade routes, our everything. So, you know, they say that we're so dumb and so, you know, stupid. Fucking, you just come here and took everything.
Yeah. I think it's mad because over here in England, we don't really get taught about anything to do with Aboriginal Australians or all that. And to me, when I'm looking through it now, I'm thinking these people are like, they're amazing people. The stuff they do with the community stuff, it's like amazing before getting westernised and stuff like that. Like what they were doing was right anyway.
Yeah. Well, even like today, they say, you know, we've got high populations of sexual assault, drunkenness, violence, DV and that war. We only make up 2% of the population.
Yeah.
So when 2% of the population, you know, I used to see my white dad fucking bashing up their mums before, you know.
My
Aboriginal, like, or my parents would be beating up each other.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a stereotype, like, you know, sort of same thing with, like, probably black people in the UK, you know.
Yeah.
Or they're dangerous. All they want to do is stab and blah, 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 and this and that. That's not the case, you know. It's just people have a stereotype and then they just run with it.
Yeah. Have you been... How your family, how cultured are they with all the stuff? Are they like fully do it? Like, do you do all the, I've seen something about where like they you paint yourself white to be go to spirits or something like that. Or is that wrong?
Yeah,
or?
So, no. So, yeah, that's sort of, they used to paint up for like ceremony and dance and like corroborees and stuff like that. Only last week we went to a Knox Grandma and we sort of painted up, you know, to dance for the kids and sort of stuff like that. So Knox Grammar is one of the most prestigious schools grammar schools in Sydney.
Yeah.
They're big for their rugby union and that. And we have NAIDOC week. It's just like a week to celebrate Aboriginal culture.
Yeah.
And this year the theme was always was, always will be.
Yeah.
So, and that just ties back into, you know, Aboriginal people have been here forever. It'll always be our country, you know, no matter how much you want to just like try and kill us off or throw us off our land, it will always be our land. You'll never take that from us. You know, that's more of a spiritual thing. But in saying that, with Aboriginal culture as well, you know, there was 355 different dialects of Aboriginal language.
Yeah.
So in all those 355, there's all different customs. So, like, you know, the way where my mob is from might be painted different from, like, you know, our neighbours and stuff like that.
So is it to do with war and stuff like that? Like,
we'll see. Aboriginal people really never went to war, like, with each other. We had a thing called payback. So what it was if you were to, say you were to come into, like my country and not introduce yourself and just walk through, then you're breaking law, really. Right. You're breaking all our traditions and stuff like that. And what would happen is, like the senior men would go down and meet with the other senior men's mob and just say, oh, look, this is what happened. And then they'd sort it out. Instead of having a war, that person would be punished and then that'd be it. So you might get like killed, speared in the leg, banished from your country, or they might like do like trades and sort of stuff like that. So In our history books, there's never ever been like big massacres of Aboriginal people fighting against each other.
Right.
It was more so like when the white people come.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had payback to make sure that no one, you know, was they killed, and there's all sort of other things that used to happen, like mock wars where they'd go out and they'd throw spears over each other for a few days and until it was settled. Right. So yeah, there was no real big wars for Aboriginal people.
Mate, it's looking through all the stuff and watch all the documentaries and stuff. It's just like the culture just looks like it's peaceful. It's good. Like everyone's just getting along with each other. It seems like since the Westerners have moved into Australia, that's what seems to has caused all the tension and brought all the bad stuff out and stuff like that. It seems like all these people want is the land. It's all they want. They don't want all the cars. They don't want all the money. All they want is the land.
Yeah. Because like I was speaking to one of the uncles and I asked him like, oh, one of the biggest massacres was in Bathurst. You know, you've been to Bathurst, eh? It's going towards like Canberra.
Oh boy. I'll be in the water. Don't speak about Canberra to me.
So Bathurst, there was a massive massacre there. And what it was a lot of the people, there's like a massive ridge line that goes between Bathurst, from the Blue Mountains to Bathurst. And they reckon that the Blue Mountains people were running scared from like this, oh, I forgot his name, something Bathurst, whatever his name was. Right. They were running scared for him. But what happened in Aboriginal culture is that you had to, what they used to do to let people know they'd light fires along the way to let the other mob that they're coming in, they'd meet somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously they're running for their lives because they're scared. And, you know, they sort of went in there and broke law and didn't tell them that they were coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So then obviously you have to be paid back. So, and then when that Bathurst fellow was coming with all his things, they were ready to take over.
Yeah.
You know, they were sort of getting it from both ends saying like, oh, well, why are you bringing these white fellas here? And then you're breaking law as well. So, and that's what sort of happened. And then there was like, that Bathurst wanted all the Aboriginal people off. So he started martial law where if you seen a black person, you could just shoot him on sight. It didn't really matter. You didn't have to have a reason.
Right.
Yeah, so there's just like a lot of things in history that have, you know, they've tried to get rid of us sort of thing, you know, like, and it's been like that forever.
It's mad because it's your land. It's not like they are being brought to you. It's your land. That's what I mean. They've come over to and try and integrate into your society, but they're just trying to take everything. It's mad.
Yeah, but like you see that throughout all of history, you know, it's all about land and, you know, you know, the gold and, sort of, we didn't have those materialistic things, you know. It was more so like we lived off the land. We loved the country, you know. We always pay respect to Mother, which is like Mother Earth. We call her Guni.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like we had that tie with them. So there was no need for materialistic possessions.
Yeah.
Because we could get everything, you know.
Yeah, watching like documentaries and stuff and like feeling how I'm feeling now with this wild mice thing, it's like I feel like I need to get back closer to being with the earth and stuff like that and close to the land. It's like, and then watching the documentaries on the indigenous people, it's like they already had it. They had it all sorted out. They were sus. They knew what they were doing, why they were doing. They felt free with the land and stuff like that. And then it's like, we've gone completely away from it now.
Yeah. I think that's the thing too, you know, and now there's like, if you sort of say that you have that connection with that land, you know, you're a hippie or, you know, you're freaky person, you know, but like, Aboriginal people was our connection, you know, that was everything to us because our old people are in the ground, you know. We have that spiritual connection with them, you know. We always think that we're reborn into something else, but you know, that sort of tie. And
I think the connection you lot have got with the land's like perfect. It's amazing, it's class. Like what you had before everyone come, but then also when I'm watching documentaries and stuff, it's like the Aboriginal community has got like a big alcohol problem. I don't know where this has come from. I don't know. Has it always been there or has it come with people coming?
Well, I think it's like anything that's introduced, you know what I mean? Like a lot of like when the first fleet and that come, they brought a lot of disease with them as well, like smallpox and all this. We didn't really have them diseases.
Yeah.
Because we had all the stuff that we could treat, you know, like medicinal properties in trees and still stuff like that. You know, they could call it bush tucker now.
It's like living off the land properly.
And like, you know, it was just one of those things, bro. Like they brought it all over here, you know, like, so With alcohol, yeah, there is a lot of problem with alcohol in sort of communities. But you know, like just the other day, somewhere up north, it's a dry community, and what that means is there's no alcohol allowed.
Yeah. I think I see it now about it when I was over living for a bit. There was on about the dry communities and stuff.
Yeah. So now that has come in place, one of our big supermarkets called Woolworths, they've got an alcohol like branding called Dan Murphy's.
Right.
And that's like just somewhere where you can go get alcohol. Do you know like Tesco, you can just walk into Tesco and get alcohol?
Yeah.
We've got our own separate, like it's called Dan Murphy's, where it's just all alcohol.
Yeah, like I remember the drive-throughs.
Yeah, like drive-throughs.
Yeah, that drive-through takeaway for alcohol is the maddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you don't even, you just get out of your car, go boost.
Yeah, mud.
Yeah, so, and what they've done now is they're trying to put a massive Dan Murphy's 2Ks within these dry communities.
Right.
So you think about it, if they've had this problem with alcoholism and, you know, drugs and sort of stuff like that, why would you do that to, like, you know, it always seems like they're just trying to do something to, do something to just keep us, you know, just the drunk Aboriginal people.
Yeah.
It was funny that, like, you bring that up too, is that up north you see a lot of people drinking in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, Aboriginal people drinking in the streets. But what that is that we were such a sharing community back in the day, you know, like, we'd share everything. So, like, if I went out and hunted and you, like, didn't get anything, we'd all share as a community. No one would go without.
Yeah.
And I think that plays into a lot of it. Like, if I've got money, even to now today, and one of my brothers or cousins says, "Hey, bro, you got, you know," I'll give it to him. We're all handing out and we're helping. And that's why I think that you see a lot of those Aboriginal people in, like, you know, communities up north and that are drinking, because they're all sharing together. They're all coming together, and that's where they do all their talk and, you know, catching up and sort of stuff like that, rather than doing it in pubs, because we don't have money to go into pubs and, you know, like other people that have got jobs.
Yeah, when you mentioned that sharing thing, when I was watching the program the other day, they said one guy, he said he hired this Aboriginal guy and he was showing him around, so he paid him like $150 for a day. And then he came back the next day and he had no money. And they were like, he hadn't spent it all, just giving it all away straight away. It's like across his whole family, so.
Yeah, because even like in where my family's from, and like even in Nyampa language, there's never a word for thank you.
Yeah.
Because everything was just, it was your obligation to everyone else.
So
just give it out. There's no, thank you. It's, you know how today, like, you give something, you're like, so appreciative. It was just a thing that was done.
It's just, So there was no,
it was just a thing that, you know, well, if I've got something, you've got something.
I'm looking at somewhere else. Well, Joe, there's like a petition going on somewhere with some mines trying to take the sacred land or something.
Oh, yeah. So, there's one in the Pilliga, which is like 5 hours from Sydney, near Coonabarabran and sort of that area. There's massive mining companies that are going there and just fracking all the land and digging up all our properties and sort of stuff like that. They've even like pushed over grave sites. Just the other day in Melbourne, there was a tree that was, I don't know, 50,000 years old, and it used to tell you. It was called a mapping tree.
Yeah.
And they cut that down just to make a highway, you know, and like you got buildings over here that are only like 150 years old and they're heritage protected.
Yeah. It's mud, isn't it?
But then you got sites that are thousands, 50, you know, 50,000 years old.
Yeah.
And they just like, you know, ruin them and fucking draw all over them and,
yeah.
It's not right. It's just seen as we're still, you know, not seen as equal to everyone else.
It's sad, mate. That's what it is. It's sad because that land and them trees and that stuff means so much to your community, and then people are just chopping it down, just walking all over it because it means nothing to them.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, it's just a bit of a madness, isn't it? What about with the rugby stuff? Because, like, growing up as a kid, say, you've gone through all the racism and stuff like that, looking up to, like, I don't know who will have been around. You same age as me. I'd be like Preston Campbell and First and all. Like, you'll have known about it more than I would. Surely, like, looking up to them gives you, like, a good way, you know, there's a way out, kind of.
Yeah, so, like, there was a lot of athletes, you know, like, you had David Peachy, And like everyone used to be want to be like David Peachey, because what he used to do when he used to score a try, he used to run all the way back to like just before like the outline and put the ball down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like everyone would run all the way to the back of the try line and like put the ball down just before, like, do you know what I mean? You had players like Laurie Daly, he came out a little bit later, but saying that he's Aboriginal, but who else was around? Anthony Mundine, Nathan Blacklock, like sort of fellas like that. Like Anthony Mundine and Nathan Blacklock used to do like the cartwheel backflips after they'd score a try. So like everyone used to try that. Like I remember like scoring tries and trying to do it and fucking landing on my head. just go and do a cartwheel, or you'd let someone score just to see them like attempt that sort of stuff. But you know, there was a lot of people that we could look up to, but you know, there was sort of not too many in the game as well.
Yeah, it seems like they're making like a conscious effort now in the NRL to bring like recognition to it.
And
celebrate the players. And stuff like that.
Because like, even them players, as good as they were, and you know, they were highlight reel players, you know, they'd still cop it from their own team. Like there's a documentary on Adam Goods, and he was an AFL player.
Yeah.
And like, they call him monkey and your fucking gorilla, and like used to throw bananas out to him, but he was the best player on the field.
Yeah.
You go back even further than that, Nicky Winmar, you know, he's the one that sort of, he kicked a goal. He was an Australian regular football player, and he raised his jersey in front of the whole crowd and like pointed to his skin by saying like, I'm black. Doesn't matter what you think, I'm still the best player, you know?
It's the pioneer, isn't it? Like them doing that gives you the energy to get going and
it, man. Oh, 100%. And like you see a lot of our communities now, like you look at Josh Adokar now, everyone wants to be Josh Adokar.
My favourite guy, Josh Adokar. I love the guy, man.
Yeah.
He's class.
Everybody wants to be the Fox, you know?
Yeah, like,
kids. We had, there's this show, The Footy Show.
Yeah, yeah.
And they used to do this little breakdown, and they did it on the Redfern All Blacks, which Redfern's a massive Aboriginal community. It's like the heart of South Sydney, really. South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Oh, yeah. I seen a program on it earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, and all the kids, they're like, oh, are you related to anyone? They're like, yeah, I'm related to Josh Adokar. And then like, go to the next kid, he goes, oh, Josh Adokar's my uncle, but so is Jonathan Thurston. He's my cousin to my mum's, like, you know. So they all just claimed him all, and like, oh, yeah, well, my cousin's Latrell Mitchell. He's better than the Fox, you know. So it sort of, like, comes that competition things with, like, the little kids. That's why it's so good to see, like, you know, these athletes now, how they're portrayed on the field, not in the media, because the media love to scrutinise players for doing anything, you know what I mean?
Your media with players is bad compared to ours. No one even knows what rugby is over here, man.
Exactly. And, like, you know, they're seen in the... especially, like, during COVID and that. It was a massive article written up about Josh Adokar and Latrell Mitchell. And, yeah, just, like, you know, it always seems like... The boys come out, like... there was Cody Walker, Latrell Mitchell and Josh Adokar that played for New South Wales last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And the week before Origin, they said, we're not going to sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
And that whole week wasn't on anyone else other than them three boys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so like, and the media plays into it. Like, do you know how people say, oh, just don't listen to them, or it's just human nature to feed into it.
Yeah. Say, well, It's not their national anthem, is it? If they don't feel like it, if they feel like it's something they've been given to and made to have to sing, I understand where they're coming from. Because the Indigenous people, they were there first. It's their land. Yeah. And then these people are coming and telling them they have to sing this song.
Yeah. It doesn't really include us in the song. That's what we're saying. Like, there's a part in the anthem that goes, oh, we're young and free. Well, we're not young.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're old. We're the oldest, continuous culture in the world.
Yeah.
We're free. We're not free. We're still bound. We were still bound by laws that you come and put in place with us.
Yeah.
You know, not up until like 1990 or 1964 or 75 or something were we seen on the census. So we weren't even counted. 50 years ago.
That's
a part of that, like, Australia.
It's mad, isn't it? It's absolute madness when you think of the world today. Imagine it's only 50 years ago that that kind of stuff were happening.
Yeah. Well, it's even like 50 years. Well, my grandfather, he's a part of the Stolen Generation. I'm not too sure if you know about the Stolen Generation.
That's the only thing I knew about Indigenous people and stuff like that was from school watching Rabbit Proof Fence. That's the only thing I know. Yeah. That's the only way I know about all about them.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, Rabbit Proof Fence was a mad insight into the Stolen Generation. And what it was is that the white people thought that if they could grab half-skinned kids, over time, it only takes, they were saying that over time, it only takes five generations to breed out Aboriginal people.
Right.
So that's what they were saying. If we can take these kids, assimilate them into white society, make them marry and have kids to white men, we'll breed them out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what happened. They'd go into like communities where full of Aboriginal people and they'd take all the fair-skinned kids or all the dark-skinned kids, the last of the full bloods, and try and breed them out.
Yeah, yeah. It's mad to see what you think about it. It's crazy.
Yeah, so my pop's only 86 years old and, you know, 80 years isn't a long time ago, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And he was part of that Stolen Generation.
It is madness. So,
like, he was taken from his mum in his community and brought up in, like, a home.
They're like Christian missionaries or whatever on there that they put them in.
Yeah. That's why I sort of don't really care for religion anymore because I feel like religion put me here, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or religion done this to my family and sort of stuff like that. So, yeah, so, like, a lot of them, like, missionaries and, like, they still have missions in Aboriginal communities, you know? People still live on the mission.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Aboriginal housing and sort of stuff like that.
What is that? What is the... Do they have, like, housing forum for the Aboriginal people? Do they, like a council estate kind of thing?
Yeah, so we have, like, they're called lands councils. And really, that is just, like, a sort of... a thing set up for us. So, you know, we have a board where we can say, oh, well, we've got this much money that comes in. How do we use that across the community? There's affordable Aboriginal housing for certain people or like for certain like Aboriginal families.
Yeah.
You know, if they're struggling or if they've, you know, got disease or like, you know, chronic disease or disabilities, that's there in place for them so they can live there and, you know, they've got a house and they're not homeless and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there is that, but it's not like in a council estate. It's like sort of spread out in between everyone, you know. So it's not like, oh, this is our sort of little area. Don't fucking come here.
So with the Dreamtime thing, you touched on it earlier.
Yep.
I want you to like explain it to me because I've watched stuff programs on it and I can't get my head around actually what it is.
Yep. So, well, how it was explained to me, like, do you know when they are back in the Dreamtime? It's just like our state of like thinking, you know, like back in time.
Yeah.
Or back when my grandfather used to be here. Or back when, like, you know, we were animals.
Right.
You know, like, because we believe that our connection is to animals.
Right, right.
You know, so we believe that we come from the animals. And, like, there's stories of, like, how the magpie got its colors. You know, and we believe that's like that's our dreaming sort of thing, like our Nurumpa, where our mind goes to rest.
Right.
Our home, our place in the world.
Right. So that links in with your artwork as well.
Yeah. So a lot of our artwork now today is very contemporary because it can be sold, you know what I mean? Everyone's after.
Man, I looked the other day. Yeah. I've got a nice place, I can get a nice colourful picture up and boy, it's not cheap, I tell you that.
Yeah, oh no, they're expensive. But a lot of them paintings that you see is a lot of the paintings are like where they live or their land and them their landmarks or where you could go for like you know ceremony or what is men's country, what is women's country. You know, there might be a site there and they tell that story of how they can get there. So like you know, it's just like their map.
Right, so yeah, so it's all like all everything they see and everything they know is actually in the artwork. It's not just random. Yeah. It's not just random dots on a paper. It's all means stuff.
Yeah, it all means stuff, and it could be like they're sort of telling that story in art because a lot of our stuff, like Aboriginal language, was passed down orally.
Yeah.
So we could only, like, you know, that's why it's hard for us to speak language now, because putting it into words, you know, it's like we'd never had a dictionary. We never had anything. We used to just speak.
Yeah.
You know, it was everyday life for us. So, but a lot of the, like, rock art, have you seen that? Like, they do, like, the carvings in the sandstone and
sort of stuff like that. I don't think so, no. Not like by people done now. I've seen the stuff, like, with the hands and stuff on the walls and, like, pictures of old kangaroos on the walls and stuff like that in, like, caves. I've seen that.
Yeah, so that's all that stuff. But there's, like, big, like rock platforms where there's, like, animals that are carved into the rock and that tells a story. But a lot of our artwork that are on those platforms are in the sky too. So you can find them in the stars.
So I see what you mean.
Yeah, so do you know, like, how they talk about the Milky Way?
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the Milky Way, you can see an emu in there. And that's why they call it the emu in the stars. They call it the Mirrabooka. Right. Yeah, so, and the Mirrabooka is like all our campsites of our old people. So, because it's like got that gloss in it.
Yeah,
we can see. Yeah, and that also tells you, like, when eggs are on too. So, like, when emu eggs, when they're hatched, and when you can go get them, because it changes, like, the emu changes in that stars. And
yeah, it's mad. The way it's mad, like, they knew that back then, and I can't even really wrap my head around it right now. It's mad.
Yeah, well, they said, like, Aboriginal people the first astronomers.
Yeah,
because they could, and, like, there's places. There's a place called Wallumbye, which is towards the Central Coast, Newcastle. And there's a rock platform. It's called Mapsite. And they've taken, like, they've blown up that Mapsite from, like, because there's, like, one dot. There's, like, on the platform, there's a dot here, dot there, like, you know, it just goes around.
Yeah.
And they took that and they blew it up and put it over the actual map. Like, over Wallumbye as a whole.
Yeah.
And if you look at that, where it's drawn, it matches up exactly to where there's women's business, men's business. You travel country there, there's a site there. You know, there's another site up here. And, like, so that's how, like, cluey and, like, onto it our people were.
No, they
knew their country.
They don't get given enough credit, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, what they're doing. Because I think I'm from English, so I'm massively outside looking in.
Yeah.
But when we're looking, it's like they just show pictures of them walking around in baggy clothes and drinking alcohol and stuff like that. But really, these people are like the pioneers of Australia, aren't they? Imagine living in that barren landscape for that long. You've got to be tuned in and smart to live there, otherwise you're not going to survive in all that and all that stuff. So
Well, if you look at it as well, like, if you look at back even when, like, settlers first come and they've got, like, you know, the old people have got chains around their necks and, you know, all that. There was not one fat Aboriginal person.
Yeah, because you have to work for everything. You know, they're so much, man. Like,
yeah, they'd go out in the day and, you know, go do whatever they need to do.
Yeah.
You know, go out, they'd go, like, make canoes or, you know, make artifacts, even just go and look after their kids. There was always something to do while they hunted and, you know.
Yeah, the stuff I've looked back into, well, I keep mentioning that documentary, because the reason the only way I can learn anything about it is the documentary, obviously, because I'm so far away. It looks like they were interviewing an old woman, and she was showing her this cave that was old, super old. And she had a great grandfather and all that lived in that cave. And she was saying she's upset because she's lived so long. She just wants to go and be in that cave with them. It's like they're destroying the land that much that some of them just don't want to be here anymore. They just want the land. They want to be left alone.
I think I know which one you're talking about. It's like there's, like, pilings, the whole, like,
holding. Yeah, holding it up.
Yeah. And she says, like, I just want to go be with my father. I want to go be with my grandfather. Because I think a lot of it is too, is that the energy that you don't put into it. So, like, if we don't keep going and visiting these sites, or, you know, we don't keep putting that energy in and having that connection to it, it gets lost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's why. You know, you go back to some of these places and it's, like, overwhelming, because all them spirits that are in that site are excited that you're coming back.
Yeah.
You know, regardless if that's your country or, you know, they just want to see our, like, people come back and connect with them again.
Yeah.
So, and that's why that lady feels like that too, because she just wants to be reconnected with them.
Yeah, it's like the all the land's energy's been taken away by all this westernizing and mining and stuff. And she just didn't. To me, it's like she just didn't want to see it anymore. Just wanted to go be with her people.
Mining is a massive thing. Like it ruins sites.
It's so much money in it though. Yeah. Apparently, I remember an Australian guy came over here and said he worked in the mines for a bit. He said it's just money over there for that.
Yeah, like some of them are getting like £100,000 just to work in the mines, and they do like 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so and like they call it fracking. So fracking's like underneath, and they take all like the water, and it leaks into other places where water's not supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So then like that's taken from our river systems, and our people like you know lived off our river systems. It's where like you know we go get something to eat, we could go drink water. You know, our lifeblood, water's life. That's why you see a lot of our rivers now that are in drought. Well, we never had drought.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like all that, all the stuff's going downstream.
Yeah, and like even like farming. We never had like farming or like cattle grazing. Everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sad, man. It's sad when I only know the stuff I've seen. From the stuff I've seen, it's like they show the Aboriginal people just want to get drunk all the time and do this. But when you actually like meeting you and stuff like that, and then learning about the history of it, there's so much more to it than what meets the eye.
A lot of it can't be explained as well. Like you have to be here, and like you know, because I only know so much. Do you know what I mean? Like there's my uncles and that know way more than me and could like sit here and tell you way more. But you know what I mean? So I'm still opening up that book. You know, I'm still opening up that book even on my journey. Like trying to reconnect with everything. So, and there's other people that are like, you know, Aboriginal people and they know nothing and it's not their fault. It's just that, you know, they've been removed from their families and they haven't been able to give them that chance to learn.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's one of those things. Oh, what do you want to know now for? You never want to know back in the day. Like are you like they call them like Johnnies. Like, you're a Johnny come lately.
Yeah.
Or you only want to be Aboriginal now because it's cool to be Aboriginal. Well, where were you back then?
Yeah, yeah.
But for us, you know, people do ancestry now and they find out, oh, well, this is my family, like, you know. So sometimes our worst enemies as well.
It's just a mad one. There's so much to take in about it. Like the history is so rich and the land, how the tie into the land and how nature's like their lifeline and they've have it. They understand how to not control nature, but understand how to live with it and get the best out of it. And we're literally just being taken away from all that to put in houses and play on PlayStation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. But like, it was just crazy how, like you say, that connection that them old people did have it. Like, you know, there's people that can still like sing songs and bring rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, and you wouldn't think, you'd think, oh, that'd have to be in like remote communities where cultures still lived on.
Yeah.
I know one of the uncles that's done it in front of me. Like, and it was freaky.
It does what? It makes it rain?
Yeah, they can sing the rain in.
What, he sang the song and it started raining?
Yeah, he's singing songs. Like, it was sung for a while, but it came in.
I need to come out to you boys. That's what I need to do. I need to get back out to Australia and come and see all this. That's what I need to do.
I'll sing this documentary of these fellas, and they find a little hole in like the middle of the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got this little bit of water, and they start pulling it out, and then he goes, "Oh, we have to leave." And they leave, and like literally right where they were sitting, just lightning, thunder, fucking rain, everything.
Man,
so there's still people that can do that.
Yeah, it's like how it's mad, isn't it? The connection with the land, it's like mesmerizing to me because it's a life I want to live. I want to live within just the land and connect with the land and live in the remote places, man.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that the more that we keep destroying the land, the more that the land's going to keep like coming back and killing us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's everything that we put in.
I've seen this Goanna that Greg Inglis does, and I've seen Josh Adokado as well. What's the ties with that? I just think it just looks like a mad crawl that looks good for a celebration, but it's got ties in that, isn't it?
Yeah, so a lot of that comes down to your totem. So like a lot of different areas have like a totem that represents their family or, you know, represents their communities. And it all had to do with like the moiety system. So our moiety system was like where you were placed with your blood and skin.
Right.
Because how it, yeah, it's so difficult. I'm still trying to learn the moiety system, but it was so that you couldn't, like, there was no incest.
Right.
So like, yeah, like you couldn't really, you'd sit across from your mother, but diagonally to your father. Do you know what
so,
I mean?
And so, like so like a family tree.
So what? Like a family tree, but like you'd do all your learning off your uncle. You wouldn't do it off your father. Your right. father would never teach you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like your uncle would show you where to go, put you through ceremony, how to hunt and stuff like that for you to become a man. And yeah, I'm even still trying to understand like how it used to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'd sit with like your sisters and stuff like that, but then you wouldn't be able to talk to your first cousin or something. Do you know what I mean? So there'd be all different communities within a community.
Right.
So there was
right.
no incest and
yeah.
stuff like that. Yeah.
So you go to a different totem or somewhere to find someone. Is that what you're saying?
So like for me, my family or my totem is the emu, Dinawan or Nuri.
Right.
And then so for me, I'd have to marry diagonally. So I'd only like lay with women that would be like of kangaroo or kangaroo blood or meat.
Yeah.
So their totem would have to be a kangaroo in order for me to like, you know, marry them and have kids with them. But also like we had multiple wives as well.
Oh boy.
You know, so oh God. Yeah. So we had multiple wives as well. And it was, you know, promised wives and like, you know, if you went through a ceremony and stuff like that, but we all had an obligation. It wasn't just like, oh, marry them, have kids with them and, you know, marry the next one and have kids with them. Some women didn't even have kids. It was just for them to look after each other and make sure we're all, and if like you got, say if I got killed, my brother, if he didn't have any wives, they'd become his wives.
Right.
So it was all just about looking after and,
I'm trying to get my head around this.
Yeah, me too, bro.
It's mad.
It's freaky. It's freaky. Yeah,
so if your totem's an emu, surely you should have had a celebration like with the arms up instead of the guano running around.
Yeah. Out there, yeah.
Mate, they're doing the crawl. I need to see you do the emu run.
No, I did the one summer bash. I did the thicker villa, which is the echidna.
I can't remember. I'm not sorry.
It went like that.
Oh, I think you did that in the do you know the shirt time when we're doing the shirts presentation thing. We had to do like a little video try.
I think I see
you do it there.
Yeah, the little thicker billow it's called. One of my uncles, he's got a dance company called Thicker Billow Vibrations.
Is this the one you keep tweeting out and putting on your Instagram?
So a lot of that Instagram stuff. So yeah, there's a few dance groups that go around and we sort of...
Yeah, I keep watching them all the time. I keep sharing them all the time, man.
I'll send you a link called Dance Rights, bro. You'll love it.
Yeah, I'd say the dancing is one of the things as well. I've seen the video of the Indigenous All-Stars, that all in a circle, all going into the middle, each one doing the dance every time.
The shake leg.
Mate. When I seen Josh Adokari, he kills me, mate. He's got the dance down to a T, man.
Yeah, so that's just like... When they used to meet up in Corroboree, that was just like to show off. Like the shake leg was a show off dance. So like, just like who's the best shake leg?
So it's like the skanky leg for Jamaicans.
Yeah, that's it. No, it's like Pondy Ribbon.
Nah,
break it out.
Yeah. So how have you got American in you? Where's that come from? Because you play for them at rugby, obviously.
Yeah, so my dad, he's was born in America, come here and met my mum here. So he's American Filipino. So I've got like a fucking weird mix, bro.
Yeah. A few different things in there.
Oh, yeah. Little bits, they call them.
Mate, it's the best though, isn't it? When you've got like more than one heritage.
100%, because you can feed off all of it.
Yeah.
You can relate to so many other people.
I've got like my mum's half Scottish, half English.
Yep.
Dad's half Jamaican, half Trinidad and Tobago. So it's like, it's mad. It's so much better when it's mad.
Big nasty man.
What a guy. He wants to come on soon.
Oh, get him on. I reckon that'd be the best episode ever.
Yeah, he wants to come on, man. You need to get to the beach, don't you? I can see you keep looking out your window.
No, I'm just looking out just to see if anyone's creeping up, you know, because our house is over here a bit different. A couple of gangsters up the road. Nah, jokes.
So last thing, well, we'll get into last things really. With the Indigenous All-Stars team, that should, what's the games like when that's on over there? Does everyone get behind it? Everyone get together?
Everyone gets together, everyone, you know.
Everyone, love that game.
It's a time to celebrate all our athletes, like not even just our rugby league athletes, but, you know, they do a sort of week where, you know, they pay tribute to all our athletes, like Aboriginal athletes in our communities. And it is a time to celebrate how great we are as a people, how close we all can come together and, you know, just be behind one banner and, you know, be so strong in people, even though everything's that's happened.
Yeah, I think
so. That's
it looks like people have it's like they're embracing it. Like everyone's starting to embrace it more now. Like when you see rugby players with the gum shields in.
Yeah, yeah.
When I used to see it as a kid, I was thinking, why have they got Belgium gum shields in or German gum shields in? I didn't understand it one bit. Didn't understand it one bit. But now I like get to more grips with it, now I'm more educated with it. You understand what it is, man. So what would you fly that flag instead of the other one?
Which one was that, sorry?
You know, the red, black, and the Indigenous flag with the sun in the middle. Yeah. That's the one you fly.
I'd fly that one instead of the Australian one.
Definitely.
But in saying that as well is that I can't say that I wouldn't fly the Australian one either. I think they should be flown together.
Yeah.
Because that's who we are as a people. You know, like history is there for a reason for us to learn on off it. You know, we should learn off history and think, I don't want that for my kids. So instead of putting the Aboriginal flag down below, we should fly them together and go forward as people rather than, you know, sort of go backwards.
Yeah, yeah. So for the Aboriginal communities to go forward, what do you reckon needs to happen really over there? Do you reckon you need to, I'm way outside. I just think they need the land. Give them their land and let them have it and let them govern it their own way. And like you said before, like you had like loads of different totems and stuff like that. And people used to do, like, just let them live how you all want to live. That's what I think needs to happen.
Yeah, I think that's I'm not too sure what needs to happen because for me, I think we just need to, if we're going to move forward as Aboriginal community, we need to, like, you know, be seen as equal. Yes, our land, it does mean a lot to us and we should be given that. There should be a treaty, sovereignty, all that sort of stuff should happen. But for me, I don't think it's going to happen overnight either. It's not like a one fixed solution. Do you know what I mean? There's things now where, you know, there's Aboriginal people now that are in parliament, you know, they can make things happen on their end because at the end of the day, we are governed by white law.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so we have to sort of do what they've done to us, you know, infiltrate and sort of take over. Be in those high positions and, you know, stand for our people and speak out and not just hide behind, you know, closed doors or sort of stuff like that and do the right thing because there's a lot of people that are hitting these high positions for Aboriginal communities and it's about greed.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than being about our whole people and making us better, it's about greed and, you know, they get a little bit, you know, sort of high strung or what would you call it? Like, can't even find the words for it, but you know, they get in those spaces and they think, oh, well, I should be the man, you know, I should be the woman, and, you know, sort of stuff like that. So I think we just need the right people in the right places, bring back our law, which is LORE, not LAW, you know, our folklore, all our ceremony stuff, bring back that, let us have that. And, you know, like, well, we still got that. I mean, just like, let us be our people, you know, let us live how we want to live. And
I think that's a great way to put it. Let you lot be your people because you've done it for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And it's what it seems like to be watching all the stuff. That's what people want. They just want to be able to do their things.
Yeah.
Without people judging them and people trying to do stuff to mess their stuff up. They just want to be able to do their thing, man.
I just want to say, bro, I think it's mad to see what you're doing, you know, like this change I've seen in the last couple of years and with all this wild mind stuff, I think it's mad, bro. So I'm really enjoying it. The positive
energy. I appreciate you, bro.
the positive stuff, because, you know, we can all get growly, eh? We can all get angry and, you know, caught up in all this other shit. But, you know, it's good to see you doing positive stuff and moving forward.
It was like learning, it was like thinking about being free. I think that's what it got. And then I think when I've watched all the documentaries on your people's stuff, I've like feel like kind of connected to how they're thinking, because that's how I want to be. I want to be free. And the way they do stuff and stuff, it just seems like ideal to me.
Yeah, that's it, bro. We all got a little bit of something in us, you know?
Yeah, serious, man.
Yeah, so. Always welcome here.
I got to get out of there, man. I need some sand. Did you see the sand this time I'm over there, yeah?
Yeah.
There's no sand in Canberra.
Nah. Any politicians, bro.
Yeah, it were boring. I just go over there. I need to come see some of your sites. If that's it, if you let outsiders in, come see some of your sites, see how you lot do stuff.
Definitely, bro. I'm more than happy to take you out there, bro. I'll show you some stuff.
I appreciate it, man.
Get them old fellas coming out too.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you. I just want to say thanks for coming on, because I think you've given me a big insight and it'll give me a lot more learning, and you'll give the people a lot more learning as well, man. And people need to listen about this stuff.
All good. Appreciate it.
All good, man. Good to see you.
All right, my man. Good to see you too. Take care, brother.
You as well, bro.